In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a meme been going around the internet lately that states that the Bible says, "Do not fear," exactly 365 times, one for each day of the year. The smart aleck in me immediately thought, well, can we add another do not fear once every 4 years to fit the 366 days of leap year? And then the skeptic in me thought, I wonder if that's really true about the 365 references. So I did some fact checking, and no, I did not go back and reread the entire Bible and do a tally sheet. The free Bible research app that I use on all my electronic devices is called Bible Gateway. And according to Bible Gateway, the words fear not or an equivalent combination appears 82 times in the ESV, the English Standard Version, the Bible that we use in worship here, and 170 times in the KJV, the King James Version that many of us grew up with. The word fear by itself shows up 336 times in the ESV and 501 times in the KJV. Any way you look at it, do not fear does not come up exactly 365 times, but why the differences in all the numbers? Different translators translate different words differently. Although it would be a nice coincidence if the phrase came up exactly 365 times, ultimately, it's not that important. There are two important things, though, that we can take from all this. One, don't believe everything you read on the internet, especially when it comes to faith in the Bible. And two, do not fear is a message that we need to hear every day, regardless of how many times it's in Scripture. What do you fear? Spiders? Snakes? Things that go bump in the night? Babies are not born with many instinctive fears. I've read that infants are naturally afraid of falling, but all of our other fears are learned. The fears of most American adults, like us, are social. We fear failure, rejection, criticism, confrontation, embarrassment, and things like those. Does that ring true for you? Surveys have found that many of us say that we fear public speaking more than we fear death. So if you go to a funeral and there's a person giving a eulogy, that person would probably prefer to be the one in the casket rather than the one speaking. Maybe the people who say that they fear public speaking more than death are really exaggerating. Personally, I used to be afraid of flying. It was irrational, but then most phobias are. For years, I did everything I could to avoid plane travel. Then I saw a video that explained the physics of flight and the mechanics of airplanes. That worked for me. Blessed with that knowledge and a few helpful, understanding people in my life, I now love to fly. If any of you have a flying phobia, I would be very glad to help you with it. You don't have to be afraid. In today's gospel reading, Jesus said, "So have no fear of them," directing his disciples to not fear those who would persecute and kill them for having faith in and proclaiming Christ. Again, he says, "Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul." Once more, referring to their oppressors. We know that Jesus' message of radical love and forgiveness, his proclaimed unity with God the Father, his prediction that he would rise again, and so would those who believed in him, those messages did not sit well with the religious establishment. We also know that his followers were not well received by the Jewish and Roman authorities after they spread the good news after his ascension. Jesus died on the cross, and 11 of his 12 apostles were martyred. Obviously, death was not their biggest concern. Jesus told them, and he tells us, not to be afraid of death. His truth is more important, and the truth will win out eventually. Everything the apostles needed to know, Jesus taught them, and they shouted it from the rooftops and wrote it in the Bible fearlessly. New heresies pop up all the time. Often they're just old heresies in new wrapping. In time, they are exposed and recede into the background. The freedom from the fear of death that Jesus shares with us enables us to live in this world more confidently, more boldly, I like to say more authentically. Franklin D. Roosevelt, former governor of New York, former United States president, said about the Great Depression, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." And that's often true of many things. When we have the feeling of impending doom, we don't think straight. We let fear dictate our decisions, and that makes things worse. Often we panic and make bad decisions because we are imagining the worst thing happening, but the worst almost never happens. In that scenario, fear wins. There is another old saying about how a brave person dies only once, but a coward dies every day. Those who are constantly fearful of death and fearful of life imagine their deaths every day in very real ways. They have, in effect, died every day and never really lived. They have never enjoyed life. They probably weren't much good of others to others either. But those who live fearfully in Christ, living for him, don't die until they leave this world to be with him. Their lives are joyful and meaningful. Usually when there is something we fear, a surgery, a financial loss, a confrontation, a presentation, when it's over, we often say to ourselves, "Hey, it wasn't that bad. We suffered more preparing for it, thinking about it, agonizing over it, and the event itself actually wasn't much to fear at all." I couldn't find this anywhere, but I recall singing a hymn years ago that was a prayer. And in it, we asked God to defend us from the fear of our enemies. There are biblical references to us being freed from the hands of our enemies, but I couldn't find a biblical reference for defense from the fear of our enemies, but I still think it's a valid prayer. Often our fear of our enemy, be it a human being or a natural disaster or whatever, does us more harm than the enemy itself. For example, we have just emerged from one of the most fearful periods in recent history, the COVID epidemic. Yes, it was awful. And more than a million Americans died. Some people argue that number might be inflated. But there were also very disconcerting things that happened. As people reacted to their fear of the pandemic and the consequences that came from their actions, it took a heavy toll on all of us. I recall when it first started, we were told that there was nothing to fear. Then we were told, "Be afraid, be very afraid." I heard people were stocking up on food. I went to Walmart and the shelves were bare except for some cans of sauerkraut and some turkey bacon. Fear caused people to empty the grocery stores, leaving some people without necessities. We were told that everything had to shut down for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Fear turned those 2 weeks into more than a year. Much damage was done to the economy. Businesses closed, jobs were lost, families suffered. Our young people's education and social development were stunted. Things like trust in the experts plummeted, and our general mental health declined. We were told that if we didn't wear a mask, we were the equivalent of murderers. Studies show now that the mask did little or nothing to stop the spread. Remember when the aisles in the grocery stores were made to be one way? It was the pandemic fear that led us to look at others, not as our neighbors, not as our siblings in Christ, not as people in need of love and compassion, but to fear them as potential carriers of a deadly disease to be isolated and avoided. I will always maintain that our spiritual health is infinitely more important than our physical health, that I could not share the ministry of the church with the sick and the dying was a tragedy and a travesty. I take seriously that we Christians are soldiers of the cross and that we risk our earthly lives for the cause of the gospel. Christ died and rose again to show us that we don't have anything to fear, not even death. For the Christian believer, death is not the worst thing in the world. Life without Christ is worse than death. If we are heaven-bound, and we are, what have we to fear in this life? Nothing. Don't forget Psalm 91. Try out another old saying. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew fear. He suffered everything that we do and more. In the Garden of Gethsemane, in his agony of spirit, Jesus sweat blood as he contemplated his death on the cross. Jesus also knew that our psalm today applied personally to him. God the Father there is speaking to Jesus, his son, and speaking to us. And he says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls on me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So God the Father answered his beloved Son's prayer, not by removing the bitter cup he had to drink, but by having him drink the chalice of his wrath to the dregs, and then gloriously raising him up, forever victorious over sin, death, and the devil. Will God raise you up too? You know he will. You've probably noticed, though, that you and I are not Jesus. So what does fearlessness look like for us in our lives? For us, courage is fear that has been baptized. By myself, by yourself, our fears would just crush us. We cannot be courageous on our own. But Christ is courageous for us. He shares his courage with us. He makes us fearless with him. His victory is our victory. So do not fear. Christ is going to raise us up. He is going to lift us high. So do not fear. Amen.